south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, a long, long time ago, I mentioned that if you come down to Latin America, you're going to have to be up a little bit, at least, on the metric system. Although they do mix the English and the metric system a lot down here. For example, they mostly have gallons of gas instead of liters. Gallons, of course, the English system, and liters, metric. And they sell most solid food by the pound or ounce. However, they sell a lot of edible, or I should say drinkable liquids, by the liter and the milliliter. For example, if you buy bottled water, a small bottle is 500 milliliters, with Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and all the other sugary poisons sold in liters and milliliters too. By the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see why it's imperative if you pop a cap off a bottle. You have to wipe it down with a Kleenex or a napkin. Goes for the tops of cans, too. So again, there's a lot of mixing of the English and metric system of weights and measures. It really doesn't make much sense, but that's the way it is, so you have to get used to it. Same thing with construction materials. For example, if you're going to buy some cinder block or cement block, they're made down here, of course, and they're made in the English system in inches. However, you don't buy blocks by the inch. You buy them by their size in centimeters. Go figure, huh? They copy the U.S. and the English system in inches, yet they convert them to centimeters when they're going to sell them. However, when you buy raw wood, it's always in inches. Duh. By the way, when you buy tape measures down here, you'll see they're in centimeters and inches, and your construction people and all your maintenance guys will use the centimeter part. And that's any time they measure the length of pretty much anything. That's something most gringos don't get used to for a long, long time. And for example, you'll say, well, you know, put that light switch about a foot and a half away from the wall, or 18 inches, whatever. By the way, inches down here I call pulgadas, which, by the way, in Spanish means finger. More precisely, fat finger, which down here in Latin America means your thumb. So pulgadas are inches, and it also means fat finger. Not to be confused with pulgas, which are fleas, so you'd rather have pulgares than pulgas. At least most men would. Now, the general word in Spanish for any finger is dedo, D-A-D-O, dedo. So, your thumb in Spanish is called pulgar, but it's also called, get this, dedo gordo. Dedo meaning finger and gordo meaning fat. So, when Latin people talk about their thumbs, they're talking about their fat finger. Now, imagine a kid up in Cleveland crying to his mother that he just smashed the crap out of his fat finger with a hammer. I don't think so, but that's how it comes across in Spanish. By the way, in Spanish, your big toe is called exactly the same thing. Dedo gordo. Fat finger again, but this time they'll be pointing to their foot. So basically, pulgar, which means finger, also means inch in Spanish. So, for example, if the situation arises and you find yourself having to beat someone over the head with a 24-inch selfie stick, that would be 24 or 24 pulgares. However, when you're talking about inches or pulgares to your maintenance guy or contractor or construction worker, whatever, you can bet he'll look at you kind of funny and then pull out his tape measure, look down the thing to spot the 24-inch mark, see that it's 61 centimeters, then he'll perk up and say, ah, say 61 centimetros. Sí, sí, jefe, no hay problema. Because, you know, you are the jefe, the boss. However, always beware when a Latin person says, no hay problema. Even worse if he says it in English. No problem. That's always a bellwether for bad karma. Now, oddly enough, when you're driving through Latin America in one of the local cars, you'll always find that the odometer and speedometer are in kilometers and kilometers per hour. However, if the car you're driving has been brought in from the States, it'll always be, like you have it up there, miles on the odometer and miles per hour on the speedometer. Now, the only country in Latin America that tries hard to stay on the English system is Belize, because it was a former British colony. But still, you'll see metric stuff around. Why? Because it's such a small country, they've got no manufacturing. They import almost everything from the U.S. and Mexico, so you got the English system imports from the U.S. and the metric stuff from Mexico. Now, to make things even stranger and more difficult, too, when you buy land in most Latin countries, they'll sell it in varas. And a vara, V-A-R-A, is about 3/4 of a square meter. Just a tip here. Never be flummoxed by square meters. They're very easy to deal with. One square meter is around 10 square feet. Very easy. Now, when you're looking at construction, whether it's built or on the drawing board, they'll almost always use square meters. So to get square feet, just multiply by 10. For example, a lot of houses will be around, let's say, 150 square meters. Multiply by 10 and you get 1,500 square feet. But what makes things more difficult is the land itself. The undeveloped land will often be measured in vadas. And remember, a vada, V-A-R-A, is about 3/4 of a square meter. Why they don't use square meters there? Who knows? Some will, but most won't. And that's especially true out in the boonies where vadas, well, that's the standard. So, in a word, duh. You are picking up on the craziness of this, right? I'm saying that every building will be measured in square meters, which is easy, but all the land around it will be in vadas, which is screwy. Now, to be precise, a vada equals 0.7 meters. For what that'll get you, and that'll get you exactly 7.5 square feet. Like you really have to know this stuff. Well, you really will if you're going to buy or rent some land or build anything on a property. Now, for you listeners out there who are thinking big, here in Latin America, they use another measurement called a manzana, which is equal to 10,000 varas, but we don't care about that. All we care is that one manzana equals 1.73 acres, which is a pretty nice chunk of land if you're building a house, let's say. Of course, little by little, you'll pick up this stuff because they're commonly used units of measure. Now, there's one more very commonly used unit of measure they never use up in the States. Down here, it's called a garrafón. Another one of those weird tongue twisters you can never say after a couple of tequilas. The word again? Garrafón. That's G-A-R-R-A-F-O-N. And the O has a little dash called a tilde on it, which means you accent that O. Garrafón. So why am I bringing this up? Well, that's the most standard unit of measure for bringing bottled water to your home or bar, restaurant, whatever. That's the units they're delivered in. It's basically a 5-gallon liquid measure of pretty much anything. So, for example, if you see one of these big blue, transparent, plastic 5-gallon jugs, the kind you see practically everywhere in Latin America, tipped upside down on water coolers and regular water dispensers. They don't call them 5-gallon jugs or containers. They just call them garrafones. Now, millions and millions of people in Latin America get that stuff delivered to them a couple of times a week. They come delivered in what looks like big Coca-Cola trucks, filled with dozens and dozens of those garrafones in direct sunlight all day. And man, talk about sun and heat. Remember, this is Latin America. That's the way people in households buy bottled water. So whether you get it from one of those big trucks or even some of the little three-wheeler kind of tuk-tuk delivery guys that are out there, remember, the water will spend some time baking in the sun in that plastic container, sometimes all day. Meaning, of course, no matter what kind of plastic they use, the sun is so hot that the plastic warms up and the monomers leach into the water. Which is why I never suggest you buy that stuff yourself. You have your own water purifier. However, everyone else's house you happen to visit will be getting their so-called pure water from the garrafón. What's even more surprising is that about 70% of the population of Latin America don't even buy the garrafón. They drink directly out of the tap because, well, they just can't afford to keep buying that stuff. However, middle-class Latins, upper-middle-class, and the wealthy all have pure water, at least they think it's pure, from the garrafón. And like I said, you could have it delivered to your house, but the cheapest way to get it is at the supermarket. Just bring in your empty and you can trade it for a full one. Unfortunately, Latins think it's pure water anyway, even though we know it's just pure dirty tap water that's run through pretty much a sand filter. But don't tell them that or they'll give you the deer in the headlights look. Ignorance is bliss, right? Though up in the States, I understand your tap water is pretty much horrendous too. So I hope all you listeners are filtering your own anyway. Now, from what I understand, lately this so-called pure water in the garrafón costs around $2 if you've got an empty to trade. Anyway, enough said about that. The only reason I brought it up in the first place is because you're going to see those things everywhere. When you go to people's houses, restaurants, bars, health clubs. Yes, health clubs. They don't know any better either. You'll spot those things everywhere. All right, let's change gears a bit. I doubt that many first world people know anything about this, but there's a neat little development that's been happening in the wild and crazy realm of Bitcoin. Yes, Bitcoin. To some, it's a dirty word. To others, it's just magic. By the way, I have to mention on that show I did last week about counterfeiting, I got a whole slew of emails and even a YouTube comment or two, which is why I'm mentioning Bitcoin. In fact, one guy sent me a YouTube comment that said, "Great show, Johnny, on counterfeiting." Actually, he used the A word, but we don't say that here. Then he says, "By the way, I've heard a large number of 7-Eleven type stores in Mexico are now accepting Bitcoin. Is there any truth to that?" Of course, y'all know Bitcoin has really been in the news a lot lately since it jumped up 100% in the last month. Of course, it's dropped a bit and leveled off now. However, it's becoming sort of one of those inverse indicators of bad times. You know, when something crappy goes down economically in some region of the world, Bitcoin shoots up. That would mean it's a very good idea to have some Bitcoin. Unless, of course, you think Hillary or Trump can keep kicking the can down the road. However, I don't think you'd be listening to this program if that's what you really thought. Anyway, there's more good news on the Bitcoin front, this time in Latin America, specifically Mexico. Now, as it turns out, in order to bypass some of the big payment processors like PayPal, by the way, I hate PayPal. Can't say I met anybody who likes it. However, it's pretty much the only game in town, so we're stuck using it. But there are companies trying to work their way around it. Like, for example, a new Mexican startup company called Zmart Group. It's bringing Bitcoin buying and selling operations to cell phones, which will allow users to buy and sell Bitcoin and food and products in grocery stores in Mexico using Bitcoin. As it turns out, this Zmart Group is an e-commerce platform and the creator of a mobile app called Max Saldo, M-A-X-S-A-L-D-O. By the way, Saldo means balance, as in monetary balance. For example, if you're using a cell phone, one of those prepaid throwaway kinds where you just load in minutes, if you want to check how much time you have left, you punch in the appropriate numbers and a recording comes on. Always a nice, sexy female. I mean, this is a macho Latin society, you know. And she'll say tu, which means your, saldo, which means balance, es, which means is, and then the remaining monetary balance you've got charged in that phone. For example, the recording might say, "Tu saldo is 10 centavos," which means your balance is 10 cents, you dummy. So you'll see that word saldo all the time, especially when you're dealing with banks and credit cards and stuff. Saldo means balance. And the name of this mobile app is called Max Saldo, literally translated, maximum balance, which allows, by the way, businesses to resell digital goods and any kind of products without needing the internet. And this Max Saldo app is not meant to be used by large corporations. Instead, it's specifically meant for small merchants and grocery store owners. So if you're in Mexico, Bitcoin will be available for sale through Max Saldo on the Mexican Bitcoin exchange platform called Bitso, B-I-T-S-O. That's Mexican's biggest Bitcoin exchange. Bitso, B-I-T-S-O. In fact, according to Bitso's website, the company is the world's largest market for using Mexican pesos to buy and sell Bitcoin. And according to Forbes magazine, Zmart Group's Bitcoin offering makes Mexico the very first country in the world that enables people to buy digital currency and spend it in grocery stores. So little by little, there is progress on the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency front. By the way, a couple of shows ago, I mentioned that almost all Latin American funny money currencies cannot easily be multiplied or divided by their equivalents in dollars. Because, you know, you've got Mexican pesos, Argentine pesos, bolivars, colones, lempiras, quetzales, etc., etc. About 15 different kinds of Latin American funny money. And none of them seem to be easy to multiply or divide in your head to come up with a quick dollar equivalent or vice versa. Unless, of course, you're a math whiz, or, for the moment, the Latin currency in question happens to be at a very round number against the U.S. dollar. Like, for example, there was a time, somewhat recently, when the Honduran lempira was 20 to the buck. Very easy to do calculations with that rate. But that didn't last long, and round numbers like that are pretty rare. So, most likely, you'll have to pull out that calculator app on your smartphone. Which, as you might imagine, you don't want to do when you're walking through one of those big markets or wading through the hordes of sweaty masses. You don't want to be flashing around that $300 smartphone when that's the average monthly salary of 95% of the people you've been rubbing elbows with in the market. And in that regard, I just received an email from Richard who says he's found a tricky and easy way to do the cross calculations between dollars and Guatemalan quetzales for anyone who's getting boots on the ground in Guatemala. And that would include the attendees at the upcoming Expat Insider Seminar, which kicks off in about 2 weeks now. Anyway, Richard in his email says since the Guatemalan quetzal hovers around 8 to the buck, for most gringos, especially freshly arrived gringos, dividing every number by 8 or multiplying by 8 can be tedious. That said, here's Richard's conversion trick. He says when you're confronted with a price in Guatemalan quetzales, just take that price, divide it in half, then take that number, divide that in half, then take that number and divide it in half, and that'll be very close to what the price is in U.S. dollars. So in short, you take the Guatemalan funny money and divide it in half three times. For example, if something's 20 quetzales, you divide that in half once, that's 10. You divide it again, that's 5. You divide that in half again, and you get 2.5. So 20 quetzales would equal $2.50, or very nearly that amount. So thanks for that, Richard. It really does work. And like Richard said, it works the other way, too. If you have a certain amount of dollars, let's say $3, and you want to find out what that is in the local funny money, Guatemalan quetzales, you take that 3, you double it, which would be 6, you double it again, which would be 12, and you double that again, which would be 24. Or 24 quetzales equals around $3. Now, of course, whatever Latin country you happen to be in, and whatever funny money they're using, the local gringos who've been there a while know a few simple tricks to do the calculations and get you in the ballpark without the use of a smartphone app or calculator. I mean, let's face it, a lot of you listeners out there are very bright, very intelligent, but you hated math. Sure, I know, some of you cheated your way through junior high algebra, right? No problem. In that case, you could do what one of my previous Expat Insider Seminar attendees did. A lady from Germany, always fastidious and accurate, those Germans, she actually made up a little calculator table for herself and had it laminated. It's about the size of a credit card, and on one side, she had printed the numbers 1 through 100, representing quetzales, with the dollar equivalent right next to it, and on the other side of the card, she had dollars, 1 to 100, and the equivalent number in Guatemalan quetzales. You might say it was overkill, but to each his own, it worked for her. However, for some, math is not dead, neither is counting on your fingers. In fact, even Einstein fessed up to that in an interview. How about that? So the next time you're trying to hide the fact that you're counting on your fingers or taking off your shoes to count past 10, just think the greatest physicist of the 20th century occasionally did it too. That said, here's a cool email. Dear John, just found your broadcast. Wish I had found it years ago. It's me again. Let me stop. I'd just like to mention here that I get so many emails that start out like that. Wish I had found you years ago. So you have to wonder, why do they keep saying that? Well, that's because I don't have much of a presence on the usual idiotic social media sites. Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, etc. I know, everybody's on that crap, and that's one of the only ways you can get yourself out there in a big way. However, I made a conscious decision years ago. I wasn't going to succumb to that trivial crap. I don't want to know about the Kardashians. I don't want to see what you're having for dinner. And I don't want to see that well-formed poop Junior just made. And I don't want to know that you're walking across the street now and the light's green, about to change, your shoe's untied, and you got a piece of kale stuck in your tooth. So with that bad attitude in mind, it's no wonder a lot of people can't find my show. However, they are trickling in. In fact, people who have other radio and podcast alternative shows try to track me down. They always say, Johnny, you're so damn hard to find. Well, I don't know. I've had some millions of downloads already, so I can't be that hard to find. And of course, with a radio and podcast show on YouTube, it's very hard to keep a low profile and keep your footprint small, but I managed to do that. Go ahead, just try to find a picture of me on Facebook or Twitter. That's why I always tell the attendees at my Expat Insider seminars, when you come down and get your plan B in motion, there's the added benefit of a once-in-a-lifetime chance to really lower your profile and reduce your social media footprint. Yes, you really can get off almost everyone else's radar. However, be forewarned, if you come down without a definite plan to do that, you could blow that opportunity quite easily by getting back on social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., etc. Now, I shouldn't have to tell you this, but you really should avoid taking those stupid selfies. You know, that stuff all ends up on the net. Then, unfortunately, you're right back on the radar again. Now, you know when you get your plan B really in motion and you come down here to Latin America, you'll have to get a Latin lawyer for various things, residency, to get a local driver's license, check out contracts, leases, bank accounts, utility hookups, a lot of things. But the other side of that coin is that he can protect your identity for you too, keep you well off the radar. And how can he do that? Well, with him, you don't have to put everything in your name. Utility bills, rental contracts, etc. They could be taken out in his name or a corporate name. Oh, and by the way, most Latin lawyers have a couple of spare SA corporations lying around. They're already legal and registered, and often, for example, your trusty lawyer will lend you one of his spare corporations to, let's say, be the authorized name on your utility hookups or your internet service or your cable TV, even on leases, cars, and rental contracts. So then with all the paperwork in one of his company names, or maybe it's even your company, because you know, you come down here, many people open up SA corporations themselves. Anyway, you get the idea, and if you plan it right, you can reduce your footprint to a pinpoint. Or perhaps you don't mind being like Bigfoot. So in other words, the privacy you once had when you were growing up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, is long gone. You know that. However, when you come down to Latin America, you can get most of that back. In fact, I know many, many gringo expats who are virtually anonymous. No, they're not sitting at home with the doors barred. They get out all the time. They do everything everyone else does, except they hold very few assets in their own names. And they use alternate email aliases, one of the best services being StartMail. And when asked for their home address on any particular document, guess what? They use a P.O. box or they give their lawyer's address. Believe me, your lawyer will be glad to do that. You get the idea, or maybe you don't. But that can be arranged if turning the clock back on personal privacy is what you're looking for. Now, where were we? Oh yeah, let's get back to that email. It comes from Jimmy. He says, I'm a custom knife maker and bladesmith. I'm certainly not rich, but I'm not poor either. I've been thinking of moving out of the U.S. to a place that doesn't steal the majority of my money, time, and labor. So, Johnny, maybe you could tell me, is there a preferred Latin American country where I could open up a custom cutlery business and still easily travel for the trade shows in the U.S. and other countries like France? Anyway, looking forward to many more shows. Keep up the good work and have a nice day. Jimmy. Well, Jimmy, actually, I am having a nice day. I'm looking out the window and I see a pair of toucans outside in a tree not 20 feet away. And down the hillside, coffee fields. And beyond that, more coffee fields and still more coffee fields, along with a couple of hills and valleys and mountains and volcanoes and rivers thrown in. So when all's said and done, how can I not have a nice day? Now, Jimmy, I don't know if you've ever been to Latin America, but since you brought up knives and cutlery, Latin America is the machete capital of the world. Seems like half the male adults in all the small towns and nearly everyone out in the boonies have big, sharp machetes in nice hand-tooled leather sheaths. That's just part of every male campesino's uniform. And many, many women are very good with those things too. And since this is Latin America and you only have two seasons and no snow and frost, all vegetation, and I mean all of it, grows about four times as fast as yours does up in the States. And there's always a guy with a machete within a stone's throw who will come over on short notice and take care of your lawn or garden with great finesse. Well, Jimmy, as I've said many times before, all throughout Latin America, there are some very high-end neighborhoods and many quite amazing shopping malls. There's a certain segment of Latin society, a small segment, that live upper middle class and wealthy lifestyles and can afford many things. So even if 70% of Latins don't even have hot running water, there's that upper 2% of Latins, that's 10 million people, with enough money and time on their hands to pursue expensive hobbies. And what seems to be very fashionable these days are chef schools and cooking classes for upscale ladies and their adolescent and 20-something children. Now, where do you suppose that comes from? Well, of course, it's from all those restaurant, chef, and cooking programs they see on U.S. cable TV. Remember, they're all down here and they're translated into Spanish. So, in practically every upscale mall, they've got a culinary school, even two, with a lot of stainless and the latest and greatest equipment. The only thing is, they seem to go in and out of business all the time. In fact, just yesterday I was in a nice mall and passed a very upscale little cooking school. And the students in their nice little white outfits? Well, they were wealthy middle-aged ladies and a few entitled kids. Some even had their bodyguards out in the hallway. Thumbs up their asses, as usual. Now, if you know anything about chefs or chef schools or culinary classes, you know they have to buy their own equipment, their kit or tools, very specific knives for very specific things. And of course, chefs and their students like to buy the high-end stuff, only the best, because they're supposed to last a lifetime, right? Not the flimsy, plastic-handled Ginzu knives we use in our kitchens. So in all the large and medium-sized Latin cities, they have quite a few restaurant and kitchen supply stores. And I've noticed there's one brand of cutlery that's everywhere. It dominates them all. A Brazilian cutlery company called Tratamonia. Now, I'm no expert on cooking, cooking utensils, or cutlery. But I do know at the high end, cast iron, copper, and stainless steel are the way to go. And aluminum pots and pans and utensils, well, they're for morons. In fact, if you use them, you'll turn into a moron. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? By the way, for those of you who like to tempt fate and eat street food, since aluminum pots and pans and utensils are the cheapest thing going, All the vendors selling food on the street simmer their stews, rice, and frijoles all day in big old aluminum pots. Aluminium for you British listeners. Yet another reason not to eat that dirt cheap street food. And you know, Expat Eddie, a restaurateur himself, says the street food is dirt cheap because it's got a lot of dirt in it, along with a lot of other unmentionable and somewhat revolting items. So anyway, Jimmy, I'd say it's a very good idea to come down to Latin America and continue on with your custom cutlery business. You'll have plenty of customers for sure. Not to mention all Latin big cities have technical schools where they kick out chefs and cooks and people in the food service industry. In fact, I know a young lady and young guy who graduated from one of these chef schools. It's a 2-year technical degree. As for the girl, she comes from a slightly upper-middle-class Latin family, her dad making around $1,000 a month. And she said all 35 kids in the class had to buy their own knives. And most all of them bought the Tratamonia stuff. She says it's professional enough and, well, it's the only game in town. So bottom line, Jimmy, it looks like there's room for competition in the cutlery business. So I suggest you come on down and get some boots on the ground and check it out for yourself. So custom cutlery, custom machetes, a sharp gringo could make a go of it. And as far as Jimmy's other question, he wants to know if he could travel easily from Latin America to some of the big trade shows in other countries. I'd say undoubtedly yes, as long as he sets up near a major city. They've all got international airports. And your best bet? Central America, because the flights are only a couple hours to any of the big cities in the States. And there are always direct flights to Europe, too. Okay, we're getting towards the end now, so let me remind you, you can still sign up for my Expat Insiders Seminar coming up in about 2 weeks now. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2016 seminar link, and you're there. And don't forget to check out John Galt's famous pre- and post-seminar trips, too. And remember, if you're coming on that post-trip, I'll be tagging along, too, so it should be a lot of fun. Oh, and by the way, for you seminar attendees who are still juggling air flights and stuff, I just checked yesterday the site called www.fly.com. I noticed the lowest price flights from New York City to Guatemala City were around $460. So just check out the consolidators, obits.com, cheapflights.com, expedia.com, and fly.com to see for yourself. And finally, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. See the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great photos that go along with the show.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.